From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, July 22nd. Coming up, the Tokyo Olympics officially start tomorrow. If you're looking for a new way to appreciate the games, we'll learn about the physics behind the Olympics in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The University of Illinois will require all faculty and staff to be fully vaccinated by the start of the upcoming fall semester. Sean Crawford reports.
The U of I system already announced a requirement for students to be vaccinated, but now it says that will also apply to employees. President Tim Killeen sent a message to the campuses saying a return to normal campus life won't be possible without widespread vaccinations. He also says any additional guidance and safety protocols will be announced at a later time. The semester begins in mid-August. Last year, the U of I system ordered testing for those on site, but testing is no longer required for those fully vaccinated. The university says for those who don't get the vaccine, either by choice or medical reasons, they'll need to follow exemption protocols that will be in place for each campus. I'm Sean Crawford.
Congressman Rodney Davis may not be serving on that January 6th Select Committee after all. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy says he'll pull all five of his members, including Davis, after Democratic Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected two of his picks. Those two voted against certifying the presidential election. Davis spoke yesterday alongside McCarthy in Washington.
And frankly, there are many unanswered questions about why this Capitol was so unprepared.
Davis was one of the few Republicans who voted for a bipartisan 9/11-style commission to investigate the insurrection.
We had some questions about how this would be implemented, and Speaker Pelosi decided instead to put forth her own select committee.
That's not true. The Democrat-led select committee was formed only after Republicans rejected the bipartisan version in the Senate. Davis's 13th congressional district includes parts of Champaign-Urbana, Bloomington-Normal, Springfield, and Decatur. A new statewide campaign called Fully Free aims to change the laws that restrict those with a criminal record. Illinois Newsroom's student journalist Vivian Law has more.
Fully Free plans to introduce legislative changes, but they also focus on giving resources to local groups to make changes in communities. One such group is Champaign-based First Followers, a reentry program that helps with difficulties like housing or the job search. Co-director James Kilgore says, too often, punishment goes on even after release.
And there's a whole stack of rules that keep you from being fully free and keep you living in a state of fear that you're going to break one of those rules and end up back in prison.
A campaign manager with Fully Free says communities can benefit from learning about the effects of mass incarceration and that local efforts can help produce statewide change. I'm Vivian Law, Illinois Newsroom.
OSF Healthcare now says it will require all employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19 by the end of September. Previously, the healthcare organization recommended vaccines, but left the final decision up to individuals. OSF Chief Operating Officer Mike Cruz says the healthcare group is, quote, ethically obligated to be vigilant about patient safety. OSF already requires annual flu shots and other vaccinations. Employees who do not qualify for an exemption and choose not to get vaccinated against COVID-19 could be subject to discipline, including firing. OSF Healthcare employs nearly 24,000 people in Illinois and Michigan. An OSF spokesperson says about 65% of their employees are currently vaccinated. Still to come, with the Summer Olympics officially starting tomorrow, we'll take a look at the physics behind the Olympics. That story from Peter Medlin is next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The Tokyo Olympics officially start tomorrow. If you're looking for a new way to appreciate the games, Northern Illinois University professors recently chatted about the physics behind the Olympics. Peter Medlin reports.
Way back at the 2012 Summer Games, U.S. women's soccer star Megan Rapinoe was already making history.
Wembley Stadium in the gold medal match on Thursday. Into the near post.
Oh!
It's in!
It's Megan
the corner
Rapinoe.
Has gone in!
Megan Rapinoe knows how to play.
Rapinoe bent a corner kick through a maelstrom of defenders and found the back of the net without the ball being deflected by anyone. It was the first time ever in the Olympics anyone had scored straight from a corner. It's known as the Olympico goal. How is it even possible? Mike Eads is an associate professor in the Department of Physics at NIU. He was one of the two physics professors presenting at NIU's STEM Cafe event. Eads gave some scientific insight on how the gold medalists curved the ball.
You actually get a difference in pressure due to this spinning and how the ball interacts with the air as it goes around it. And what happens is there's a difference in pressure. You get a high pressure on the bottom here, a low pressure on the top. So that actually creates a force pointing upward. So the spinning can actually cause one of these lateral forces that can cause balls to bend.
That force is called the Magnus effect. It's one of many concepts explored by Eads and fellow professor Jared Edelman. Speaking of spinning, Edelman talked about angular momentum.
We're going to think of it as momentum for objects that are rotating. So instead of velocity, which is just how fast an object moves, we have angular velocity, which is how fast an object rotates.
Take four-time Olympic champion gymnast Simone Biles, for example. When she jumps from the mat, the combination of forces going up and then gravity pushing back down on her center of gravity, causing the twist, is called torque. Much like a diver, she can tuck or extend her arms and legs in midair to control how she twists and flips.
Because angular momentum depends on the distance to the rotation axis, and the orientation, if you change that mass distribution, you can actually change how something rotates even while conserving angular momentum.
Eads, who is an avid runner, also wanted to break down the science behind how a race is won at any given distance. Newton's first law says an object at rest stays at rest, and an object in motion stays in motion, unless acted on by an external force.
So if we have our sprinters at rest, and well, if they're going to start moving, then there must be a force.
There are all sorts of forces. There's the force of the runner launching off the starting blocks, the equal force of the block then pushing them forward. Then there's the force of the runner's foot hitting the ground with each stride. We know that the runners don't just stay in motion. Humans can't run forever. The race must end at some point. And that's because there are other forces at play. There's wind resistance, friction, even friction in your own body.
It's also important to remember that there is friction in the joints of your body. I think as we get older, we get more friction in the various joints of our body.
Shorter races require faster acceleration, which requires bigger muscles and more force exerted per step by someone like sprinter Usain Bolt compared to a marathoner.
There's the start, and Bolt got a good one, and Gay's right with him, and so's Asafa Powell. Bailey's there too, but here's Bolt. Bolt charging to the front. Gay's coming, but can't catch him. Usain Bolt, look at the time, 9.58 world record.
Initial explosive acceleration like that is less important in a marathon. The pace is going to be more or less steady, and so runners are lighter and keep their bodies mostly level to conserve energy. There are endless scientific concepts that can allow you to see the Olympics and everyday life in new ways. Eads and Edelman want people to know that they can engage with physics to learn about the world around them, and it doesn't take wildly complex mathematics to do it. NIU holds STEM Cafe events either virtually or in person every month. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have partly cloudy skies today, a slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon, and a high of 84 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Sean Crawford, Ryan Denham, Vivian Law, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.